packs et choses. À la fin de la semaine, fini de travailler, c'est la fin de sa peine. Drive son vieux truck au bar du coin. Pour se défouler, il y en a tant besoin. Il a une chaise, comment...
Welcome to John Abbott on the air on CKUT 90.3 FM.
We went to John Abbott College and asked students the question, who's your biggest celebrity crush?
And the answers we got were quite amusing.
Taylor Swift. She's beautiful.
Definitely Paul Rudd. I think he could take me out for like a beer and we'd have so much fun together. And I think I'd have a good laugh with him, thus making him my celebrity crush. Plus he's also like gorgeous, so there you go.
SZA, because she's literally so gorgeous and... I don't know, she is just so talented.
It's Drew Starkey, because he's hot.
Oshkosh. I don't know, she's fine, you know what I'm saying?
All right, well, I have three. I can't really narrow it down. That's probably the most I can do. There's Margot Robbie. She's amazing. Love her. Drew Starkey. You guys know who Drew Starkey is? If you don't, well, look him up. And, of course, Dylan O'Brien.
Miley Cyrus. I like her voice. Makes me feel special.
Billie Eilish, because she's not afraid to be who she is, and she's gorgeous. I mean, hey, she's hot.
Oh, Zac Efron, because he's really cute, and he was in High School Musical, and I like High School Musical.
Chris Hemsworth or Scarlett Johansson, because they're hot.
Kim Kardashian, because she has a big dumpy.
Overall, when we asked students at John Abbott College who's their biggest celebrity crush, we learned...
Some people have good taste. Others, questionable.
This segment was produced by Maria Kier,
Lisanne Bédard,
Isabella Ninchevich.
Hi, we are on John Abbott on the Air on CKUT 90.3 FM, and today we are roaming the campus to find out whether students preferred learning in person or online.
I like online. Less distractions, could pay attention to the computer a bit better than in school.
Personally, I rather online much better. First reason being, I found it was pretty easy to learn online. Unlike most kids, I guess I needed the clear headspace and I was able to focus every day in my room. And another reason is at the beginning, I was pretty scared of COVID, so I didn't really want to go into a school with thousands of kids. And yeah, so I preferred online much better.
I preferred learning in-person classes because I found it easier to learn with the teacher being there, and I also like the social part of it.
I prefer online because it's easier for the brain. And also, I live quite far from the school, so it's easier for me to attend my classes and be earlier in classes than just getting late here and at school. It's easier for me.
In-person classes, that's because I can interact with my teachers face-to-face.
There you have it, folks. As you can see, the students prefer online classes over in-person classes. This show was presented by Alex Boisvert, Finn Armstrong, and Santiago Zuzunaga. Thank you for tuning in to CKUT 90.3 FM and have a wonderful day.
My name is Zachary Blanchard, and I'm here with Gabriel Vitale and Adriana Ford Scandalberry at John Abbott College to ask students how they feel coming back to school.
I think one of my favorite things about being back on campus, especially because this is my first semester at Abbott, or at John Abbott, sorry, is meeting new people, being back to interacting. I find being at school and doing homework at school is much more productive, and just generally I'm really enjoying this semester so far.
Well, I'm really excited, especially because I'm studying theater, and like I wouldn't know how I'd feel studying theater at home online, like behind a screen. So I'm actually really happy to be here.
Well, this is my first year,
So I'm very excited because I get to see a lot of new people, and until now, I'm enjoying it.
We also got a teacher standpoint.
Yeah, I feel fine. I feel good, you know. I'm trying to take my students outside a lot, but if the weather wasn't nice, I'd be fine with teaching them inside.
This story was produced by Zachary Blanchard, Gabriel Vitale, and Adriana Ford Scandalberry, and you're listening to John Abbott on the air on CKUT 90.3 FM.
In 2012, a study in Belgium found that if 10% of all private cars were replaced by motorcycles, total time losses for all vehicles decreased by 40% and emissions reduced by 6%. A 25% shift from cars to motorcycles found that there would be no traffic in the area. With that in mind, we went to the John Abbott College campus and asked students a question. Would they ride a motorcycle as a mode of transport?
Personally, I would not, for many reasons. One, because I think it's not convenient. I'd have to base my day, my entire day, weather-wise, and have the proper conditions to go on a motorcycle. And two, because it's personally, I find it a bit unsafe when I could be in a four-door closed enclosure in a car. So that's my reasoning behind it.
No, I wouldn't, because I feel that it's not as safe as a car, and I wouldn't want to get rained on.
Yes, I feel it'd be easier to navigate around, and especially in traffic, and smaller for parking.
Me personally, I wouldn't. I don't like the balancing on it. I don't think I'd be able to do it. Plus, I'm kind of scared of it falling on the side, so.
No. Just in my experience with motorcycle drivers, a lot of them get hurt. A lot of them are dead because they're like aren't protected by the like walls of a car.
In conclusion, the majority of students would not ride a motorcycle, despite the environmental benefits and the traffic reduction. This segment was produced by Enunzio Turetti and Adam Sheridan for John Abbott on the Air. You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.
Hey everyone, this interview is produced by Justin Gregory and
Pauline Ho
for John Abbott on the Air on CKUT 90.3 FM. We interviewed people on whether they agree or not on the vaccination passport, and this is what they had to say.
I wholeheartedly agree. If you don't want this whole COVID thing to keep going on forever, you have to, and you want to travel, you have to vaccinate yourself at some point. Otherwise, you'll just never go anywhere for the rest of your life.
I think I disagree with it. Like, I don't think it's right that people are being forced, because like it's basic needs and they're taking that away from people. So I think that's pretty messed up.
I agree with what he just said. I think it's a little too controlling. I could see both sides of it, so I'm kind of in the middle. But like I said, I could see both sides.
I don't think like the vaccine passport's like a good idea, because like I can't go to the gym anymore because I don't have the vaccine, and like I don't really like it.
It's a good idea because it's safer for people, and like want to get rid of like the mask and everything. We have to get people vaccinated, so I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, we would need to have like proof of it, or else like we wouldn't know if they were.
After interviewing people, we found out that the opinions were pretty much 50-50, because half agreed with the vaccine passport and half did not like the idea of basic needs being taken away. It's a bit surprising due to all the recent events. All right, guys, have a nice day.
Hi, I'm Leticia, and my co-producer is Lauren. Welcome to CKUT 90.3 FM. Today we went to John Abbott College, and Lauren asked a few students what in life gives them pleasure. Let's just say that we got a huge range of answers, from motivational and sweet to inappropriate. Here are some student responses.
Not being at Abbott, because I fucking hate Abbott.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I like ice cream. It's cold. It's ice cold, like me.
It refreshes you on a hot summer day.
And it's also good after masturbation. So, yeah.
Well, I think it would be art, but in general, apart from art, because, like, I already studied that, I guess it would be just making people angry.
Really? Why?
I don't know. It's just nice to see someone just getting pissed off over something as simple as just a sentence.
I think the thing that brings me the most pleasure in life is sports.
So the thing that makes me the most happy in life is being healthy and that the people around me that I love are healthy, because I feel like health is like the most valuable thing we can have.
Okay, so I think the thing that makes me the most happy is mostly taking care of my body and my mind. So training myself physically, mentally, spiritually, and also being my family and just being a better person as well.
In talking to these students, we learned how much the definition of pleasure varies from one person to another. After the interview, we found that these answers were extremely interesting. However, some of them made us think and others made us laugh. This story was co-produced by Lauren Murphy and co-produced by Leticia Briand for CKUT 90.3 FM.
Hi, I'm Laura D'Souza for John Abbott on the Air. Last year, students missed a significant amount of school due to the pandemic. We were all forced to go online for our education. We interviewed students and staff on the John Abbott College campus to find out what they miss most about not being on campus.
What is your favorite thing about being back?
Favorite thing about being back on campus is seeing all the different types of people there are and just seeing like how people interact with everyone. Being so isolated during COVID, I didn't really see a lot of people. So now it's just like a really sudden change, and it's really cool to see.
Hi, my favorite thing about being back is being able to interact with people again. Also, I've found that being around people while I'm working has really helped my productivity and my ability to get work done properly.
Hi, my name is Lily Furs. I'm a third year student, and honestly, what I love about being back on campus is being able to be outside again and see all my friends who live on island that I don't usually see.
My name's Shelby. I'm very sad to be back at Abbott.
Hi, my favorite thing about being back on campus is not having to do online class again, because I really struggled with that. Seeing my teachers face-to-face and learning face-to-face is way easier.
My favorite thing is seeing the students again in person. I think it was very difficult for most students to be home for that length of time, to be out of school, so to see everyone here, that's the best.
So my favorite thing about being back on campus must be not having to sit in front of a computer all day, and I think it's just a lot easier.
As you can see, many students are happy to be back on campus. Students and staff of John Abbott College are looking forward to a school of new friendships and in-person classes. Signing off from CKUT 90.3 FM, I'm Zsuzsa Tököli,
Laura D'Souza,
and Alex Laney. Thank you for listening.
Let me ask you something. Have you ever received a compliment that did not sit well with you? Today we went through the halls at John Abbott College and asked students what was the most shocking backhanded compliment you have ever received.
Surprisingly, I don't think I ever noticed it. I'm pretty oblivious. Any compliment, I take it.
Oh, like, you're good at soccer for a girl. Like, I've never seen a girl be that good.
Like, I thought, okay, yeah, she's encouraging me. But then after, like now when I think about it, I'm like, okay, yeah. That's still sexist. Yeah. Like, come on.
Oh, that's like a hard one. Yeah, that dress is really slimming on you.
I like you, like a person, but I don't like your religion.
Mia, you're very pretty for an Indian.
You look tall for a short person.
Your outfit would look so good if you didn't have such ugly shoes.
Those were some crazy responses to the question, what is the most backhanded compliment you have ever received?
And this was Jenna Tubal,
Alessia Pache,
and Alexis Cohen
for John Abbott on the Air at CKUT 90.3 FM.
John Abbott on the Air on CKUT 90.3 FM. We're at John Abbott College asking students how many different foreign languages they can say hi in.
I know Chinese, 你好, and then there's also French, bonjour.
Okay, so I can say it in Arabic. It's salam alaikum. In French, bonjour. English, hello. Turkish, merhaba. And in Mandarin, ni hao.
Zero.
Okay, so there's French, Spanish, a little bit of Japanese, and yeah, that's it. So I can say hi in all of them. I can say, well, there's hola, and then bonjour, and there's konnichiwa.
Yes, I do. I speak Russian. And hello in Russian is privyet.
Well, I can definitely say hello in Hebrew, which is shalom. It also means goodbye and peace, kind of like aloha in Hawaiian. There is also in Chinese, I know a little bit since I'm in the special topics in Chinese culture. It's in Chinese, it's ni hao, which also means how are you doing, right? Ni is you and how is good. And I mean, obviously in French, which is, you know, bonjour, comment ça va, right? And that's about it.
And these are the answers John Abbott students gave us in response to the question, how many different foreign languages can you say hi in? And we're Stephanie Colangelo and Catherine Ewick. And we're on John Abbott on the Air on CKUT 90.3 FM, streaming on CKUT.ca. Thank you. Hope you enjoyed.
Hip-hop rivals Kanye West and Drake have recently released albums within the same week. We asked students of John Abbott College which album they preferred and their favorite song.
I'm going to say Donda because I only like one song, and that's Off the Grid, so I don't like any songs on CLB.
I prefer Donda, and my favorite song is Off the Grid.
Well, my favorite album was Donda, and it was superb.
Okay, I have never heard the other album, but I did enjoy Donda. I especially liked Moon.
I gotta go with Certified Lover Boy because Way Too Sexy was fire.
Alright, so definitely Donda. The reason why is I've been Team Kanye since day one, and the album just slaps. You got Kid Cudi, you got Don Toliver, you got The Weeknd, and so many other great artists.
Out of the students selected, Donda was the clear favorite. But what do you think? Which album do you prefer? This is Ben Waba
and Cody Greenfield on John Abbott on the Air, CKUT 90.3 FM. Yeah, bro, bro, bro. I'm too sexy for this girl, too sexy for your girl, too sexy for this world, too sexy for this ice, too sexy for that jack. Yeah, yeah. Hey everybody, joined by Daniel Ben Susan and Emma Gonzalez, I'm Dusty Goldberg. Kanye West's Donda or Drake's Certified Lover Boy? Let's see what the people have to say.
Yeah, I prefer Donda. I thought the production was better, and I also think that the features hit harder.
I choose Certified Lover Boy because Drake has better features than Kanye.
I chose Donda because it had the best production.
I love CLB more because I felt it's easier to vibe with, and Kanye made us wait for Donda a lot longer than we had to wait for CLB.
So yeah, I like Donda better because like the song Moon with Kid Cudi, bro, gave me an out-of-body experience, bro.
I'm a big fan of Certified Lover Boy. I was born in Toronto, raised there, so I have a nice connection to Drake. He's my boy. So
I like Donda better because Kanye is a lyrical genius.
I like Donda better because, I don't know, I have some thing about Kanye where I just feel some deep connection to him. And the lyrics are pretty deep, you know what I mean? Like, I felt that in my heart.
Overall, the feedback was mixed. Both Drake and Kanye had great releases, and this week will surely go down in the history books. But if we had to pick which album is better, the answer is simple. Tyler, the Creator's Call Me If You Get Lost is by far the album of the year, and we'll be rooting for him at the Grammys. For John Abbott on the Air on CKUT 90.3 FM, I'm Dusty Goldberg. Stay classy, everybody.
KUT 90.3 FM, John Abbott on the air. This is Alex Cad, and I'm joined with my father, Joseph Cad, and I'm going to talk to him a little bit about his life, his childhood in Lebanon, and how he came to be a Canadian, and more importantly, a Quebecer. So that, while saving a little bit for the interview, just tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are, where you came from, what you do now, and so on.
So my name is Joseph Cayat. I was born in Beirut, Lebanon. I came to Canada about 33 years ago. I integrated very well in the society here in Montreal. I'm fully bilingual. I got my Bachelor of Science degree in agriculture back in Beirut. Unfortunately, never worked in my field, but I don't regret. I've been all my life in sales of computer software and computer equipment. I should say successful years of sales. I'm married and I have three sons. And yeah, that's what brings us here today.
So, Dad, give a brief recap of your life in Lebanon and how you came to be a Quebecer and a Canadian.
So, I was born in Beirut, which is the capital of Lebanon. I was an only child. I had a normal childhood, a bit... overly protected by both my mom and dad, since I was an only child. When I was young, I would go and play in the street. A lot of kids on my street, my age. So that's what I remember very well. I went to private school. It was mainly French. All private, mainly managed and owned by French nuns and French priests, because if you recall, Lebanon was what we call, quote unquote, a French protectorate or a French territory, not as such a colony. So these French priests and nuns established schools in Lebanon. So I went to what we call the French schooling system. It was really fun life being at school, playing with kids, especially when you're an only child. In the summer, I remember I have very, very good memories of going to the beach. Beirut is on the Mediterranean. I lived in an apartment building. My apartment was about probably 20, 25 minutes by car from the beach. So I spend a lot of time on the beach. and every summer, my grandma or my father would rent a home or an apartment in the countryside. So we would leave the beach for about, I would say, 2 months and spend it in the country. I had another set of friends there in the countryside. You go and you play in the woods, outdoors. It's a different life than the life of the city. This is where you grow up. You start having parties. The villages are small. Everybody knows each other. I served at mass, bars, village bars, how to play ping pong, how to play the table football or the futsal. This is where you start by, you know, you're a teenager, you start going out to parties and having girlfriends and staying up late and starting to enjoy the life of a teenager.
And did war, more precisely the Israeli-Lebanese war of the 80s, make university more difficult?
The war in 1975 started, and we were sort of stuck at home. I would just go to school and come back. I decided to go to university, so I picked up probably one of the best universities in the Middle East, because we had students from all over the Arab world go to the American University of Beirut. Luckily enough, it was about 15 minutes walk from my home. I decided that I wanted to do agriculture. I had a dream of saving humanity from famine and helping the world. My plans didn't pan out exactly like I wanted, because the war happened, and if you want to do research and development, you can't just suffice yourself with a Bachelor of Science in Agriculture. You have to have a master's and ideally a PhD, which I never wanted to undertake. So the 4 years of university were painful, because they were under the bombs, shelling. Half the time we had no power. My dean of agriculture was kidnapped. One of the professors was also kidnapped. It was pretty hectic. Irregular hours, different schools was shut for a while, then came back. You have to study and try to concentrate, you know, with bombs and snipers and so on and so forth. And, you know, when you're doing a Bachelor of Science in 4 years, you stay up late. So I don't remember one night where I didn't have to use a candle because power was out. So anyway, I finally graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Agriculture. I had no ceremony, not because graduation because of the war, but because our dean, Thomas Sutherland, was kidnapped. So we missed that. And right after, I had one of my aunts who had been in Canada sponsor me. So anyway, with time, I landed another better job. And ever since I arrived here in 1986, I've been in sales of computer software and hardware. And yeah.
And for those of you who have just tuned in, once again, I'm speaking with Joseph Kayat, my father, and his experience in Lebanon, the war over there, and how he came to be a Canadian and a Quebecer. Is the Quebec that you moved to the same now as it was back then?
I think demographically, when I was here in 86, I think Quebec was not more than 4 or 5 million. Today we're close to 8.5 million. So in 33 years, the population grew.
And was there a lot of Lebanese people?
I think there is more and more Lebanese. There was a very well-established old diaspora of Lebanese. They were founding members of the Quebec society. They founded big businesses that are recognized here now. They had their Lebanese-Syrian club on Jean Talon. But with time, with war, with hardship back in the Middle East, more and more Lebanese started coming, I think, in the last 15 years mainly. So although I'm not in very close contact with the Lebanese community, there is more immigration due to the war and to difficult situation back home.
That's all the time we have. I want to give a big shout out to my father, Joseph Cad, for being here today and speaking on his experience living through a war-torn childhood in Lebanon. For CKUT 90.3 FM, this is Alex Cad.
Célébrer, à nous célébrer, il passe, fêter ou à fêter.